Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host. This week we begin our Halloween season. Every October, the Old Time Radio Hour presents some mystery, horror, and comedy with a Halloween theme from the golden age of radio. Television and movies tell stories with special effects that are limited by current technology. Radio uses the unlimited resource of your imagination to create witches, goblins, and unearthly effects. We begin October with the most famous witches in English literature. In Shakespeare's gory account of the runaway ambition of a Scottish serial murderer, Dame Judith Anderson and Maurice Evans adapt their Broadway performances for radio in this Theatre Guild on the Air presentation of Shakespeare's Macbeth, broadcast May 11th, 1947 on ABC.
USS, the industrial family that serves the nation, presents the Theatre Guild on the Air. Our stars, Judith Anderson and Maurice Evans. Our play, Shakespeare's Macbeth, produced on the air tonight by the Theatre Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers. Every day, everywhere, you are served by products of steel. In your home, in your business, in your travel. The trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. And now, from Broadway, direct from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater, the United States Steel Corporation brings you Macbeth. And here with a word on the play is Maurice Evans.
Good evening. Macbeth, which tells of the rise and fall of a dictator, is a play that's always timely, as up to the minute as a radio news broadcast. The vivid action of Macbeth seems ready-made for radio, with a few adjustments. For example, in the original play, Banquo's ghost, when he comes to haunt Macbeth, doesn't say a word. A very impractical ghost for radio purposes. So tonight we give him words. To bring him to the microphone, we've had to do some, shall we say, ghost writing. In other words, we bring to you a Macbeth adapted to a new kind of theater, the radio theater. To appear in this broadcast with Judith Anderson is to bring back memories of Broadway and of distant Pacific Islands where we played Macbeth together. We're proud to have with us in tonight's cast Romney Brent as Malcolm, Thomas Chalmers as Macduff, and Everett Sloan as Banquo.
And now the curtain rises on the Theatre Guild on the Air production of Macbeth, starring Judith Anderson and Maurice Evans.
Thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the halli-bally's done.
When the battle's lost and won.
That will be ere the set of sun.
Where the place?
Upon the heath. There to meet with
Macbeth.
In the year 1046, a battle rages between the Scottish armies under Macbeth and the invading Norsemen. But even as Macbeth wins his glorious victory, a strange destiny awaits him. He learns of it first on his way home. He and Banquo, his faithful lieutenant, are traveling ahead to report to their king where a hero's welcome awaits them. Just now, they're riding on their way through a wild and gloomy day across a desolate heath.
So foul and fair a day I have not seen. How far is to home?
I do not know, sir.
Which is our way?
I think we should go...
Say.
Foul is fair!
And fair is foul!
Come after through
Fog and filthy air.
What are these creatures so withered and so wild?
They look not like the inhabitants of the earth, and yet are aren't. Live you, or are you aught that man may question? You seem to understand me by each at once her choppy finger laying upon her skinny lips. You should be women, and yet your beards forbid me to interpret that you are so. If you can look into the seeds of time and say which grain will grow and which will not, speak to me.
Oh, hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Glass.
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor.
All hail, Macbeth. That shall be king hereafter.
Say, you imperfect speakers, tell me more. By Sinel's death, I know I'm Thane of Glass. But how of Cawdor? And to be king stands not within the prospect of belief. Say, from whence you owe this strange intelligence. Speak, I charge you.
The earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are of them. Whither are they vanished?
Into the air. And what seemed corporal melted as breath into the wind. Would they had stayed.
Were such things here as we do speak about? You shall be king.
And Thane of Cawdor, too, went it not so?
To the selfsame tune and words.
Let us talk the king, and at more time think upon what has chanced.
Macbeth!
Who calls?
Macbeth! Banquo!
How now? Who calls upon Macbeth?
This is Macduff. Where are you?
Macduff! In here, by the edge of the heath.
Well met, Macduff.
Macbeth! Fortune hath led me to thee. I come from King Duncan to greet thee on thy way.
I'm glad to see thee.
The king hath happily received, Macbeth, the news of thy success. And thick as hail good tidings came. And every word did bear thy praises in his kingdom's great defense.
The service and the loyalty I owe in doing it pays itself.
Macbeth, here is my message. Turn homeward to thy castle. Our gracious king will visit thee at once. There to bestow the honors he would heap upon thy head.
Honors?
What do you mean?
King Duncan hath proclaimed Malcolm his son, heir to the throne. But after him shalt thou be first in the land, Macbeth. In sign whereof, he bade me from him, call thee by the title, Thane of Cawdor. All hail, most worthy Thane.
What? Can the devil speak true?
How now?
Yet oftentimes, to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths. Win us with honest trifles to betray us in deepest consequence.
Pretty peace, good Banquo. Go you a little before. I am overcome with honors thrust upon me. I'll be with you both anon.
We'll await your pleasure. Come, Banquo.
I come.
Lambs, Cawdor. Two truths are told as happy prologue to the swelling act of the imperial theme. This supernatural soliciting cannot be ill, cannot be good. If ill, why hath it given me earnest of success commencing in a truth? I am Thane of Cawdor. If good, why do I yield to that suggestion whose horrid image doth unfix my hair and make my seated heart knock at my ribs against the use of nature? If chance will have me king, why chance may crown me without my stir. A letter to my wife shall be the harbinger of this great news. Come what come may, time and the hour runs through the roughest day.
They met me, dearest wife, in the day of success. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air, into which they vanished. As I stood, wrapped in the wonder of it, came missives from the king, who all hailed me Thane of Cawdor, by which title before these weird sisters saluted me and referred me to the coming on of time with Hail, King, shalt be. Lay it to thy heart and farewell. Thy husband. Lambs thou art, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature, It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great art not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily. Wouldst not playful, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Tie thee hither that I may pour my spirit in thine ear, and chastise with the valor of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round, which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal. Come in.
Madam.
What is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
Thou'rt mad to say it. Comes not thy master first?
So please you, it is true. Our thane is coming. He is now in sight upon the mountain path.
You bring great news. Be gone.
Aye, madam.
The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here. Fill me from the crown to the toe, top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood. Stop up the access and passage to remorse, that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breast and take my milk for gall, you murdering ministers, wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pall thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold!
My love.
Husband.
My dearest wife.
Great Lance, worthy Cawdor, thy letter has transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now future in the instant.
My dearest love, Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow, as he purposes.
Oh, never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my saying, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time. Bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower. But be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for. And you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favor ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
There is his castle, my king.
It has a pleasant seat. The air sweetly and nimbly recommends itself unto our gentle senses. Heaven's breath smells wooingly here. The air is delicate.
Very pleasant, Your Highness.
Malcolm, my son.
Yes, father?
Ride with me.
Yes, father.
My prince, when thou art king, remember this. So much I owe to him who dwelleth here that all my swiftest recompense is slow to overtake him. He is a peerless subject.
Aye, sir.
And his friend Banquo, too, no less deserved. These shalt thou trust and hold them to thy heart. See, our hostess comes to greet us.
Oh,
we are at your service, all our house.
Lady, give me thy hand. Conduct me to mine host. We love him highly and are your guests tonight.
Husband.
Anna, what news?
Duncan has almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Have he asked for me?
No, you not. He has.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have won golden opinions from all sorts of people, which shall be worn now in their newest glass, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since? And wakes it now to look so green and pale at what it did so freely? From this time, such I account thy love. Art thou appear to be the same in thine own act and valor as thou art in desire?
Any peace. I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
What beast was it, then, that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more the man. I've given suck and know how tender it is to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed the brains out. Had I so sworn as you have done to this...
If we should fail...
We fail? But screw your courage to the sticking place and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, where to the rather shall his day's hard journey sounds invite him, his two chamberlains will lie with wine and wassail, so convinced that memory, the water of the brain, shall be a fume. When in swinish sleep their drenched natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Bring forth men, children only, for thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. Will it not be received when we have marked with blood those sleepy two of his own chamber and used their very daggers that they have dunked?
Who dares receive it, other, as we shall make our griefs and clamor roar upon his death?
I am settled, and bend up each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide what the false heart doth know. How goes the night, watchman?
The moon is down. I've not heard the clock.
There's husbandry in heaven. Their candles are all out. Get thee to bed now. Good repose to thee.
Thanks, sir. As I like to you, sir.
Is this a dagger that I see before me? The handle toward my hand. Come. Let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain? I see thee yet, and on thy blade and dudgeon gouts of blood, which was not so before. Ach, there's no such thing. It is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now o'er the one half world, nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, or it is a knell that summons thee to heaven. What a hell.
My husband...
Aye.
His door is open, and the surfeited grooms do mock their charge with snores. I've drugged their possets that death and nature do contend about them, whether they live or die. I laid their daggers ready. You cannot miss them. Had he not resembled my father as he slept, I had done it.
I go, and it is done.
That which hath made them drunk hath made me bold. What hath quenched them hath given me fire. Hark! It was the owl that shrieked. The fatal bellman which gives the sternest good night. He is about it.
Who's there? Halt!
Alack, I'm afraid they have awaked and 'tis not done. The attempt and not the deed confounds us. My husband.
I have done the deed. Dost thou not hear a noise?
I heard the owl scream and the cricket's cry. Did not you speak?
When?
Now.
As I descended?
Aye.
Ha! Who lies in the second chamber?
Prince Malcolm.
Methought I heard a voice cry. Sleep no more. Macbeth does murder sleep.
These deeds must not be thought out of these ways. So it will make us mad.
The innocent sleep. Sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care. The death of each day's life. Sore labor's bath.
balm of hurt minds, great nature's second course, chief nourisher in life's feast.
What do you mean?
Still it cried, sleep no more to all the house. Brahms hath murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.
Who was it that thus cried? Why, worthy Thane, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain sickly of things. Go get some water and wash this filthy witness from your hands. Why did you bring these daggers from the place they must lie there? Go carry them and smear the sleepy grooms with blood.
I'll go no more. I'm afraid to think what I have done. Look on't again, I dare not.
Infirm of purpose, give me the daggers. The sleeping and the dead are but as pictures. 'Tis the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil. If he do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms with all, for it must seem they are guilt.
Whence is that knocking? How is't with me when every noise appalls me? What hands are here? Tough, they pluck out mine eyes. Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand? No, this my hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
My hands have your color, but I shame to wear a heart so white. I hear a knocking at the south entry. Retire we to our chamber. A little water clears us of this deed. How easy is it then? Hark, more knocking. Get on your nightgown this occasion. Call us and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your thoughts.
To know my deed, for best not know myself. Wake, Duncan, with thy knocking. I would thou couldst.
Here's a knocking indeed. Knock, knock, knock. A man might be a porter at Hellgate's, only this place is too cold for hell. I'll devil porter it no further.
Open!
Anon!
Well, good morrow, friend.
Come in, good sirs. Macduff and Banquo, I pray you remember the porter. Thank you.
Is thy master stirring?
Who's there?
Our knocking has awaked him. Here he comes.
Good morrow, noble Macbeth.
Banquo and good Macduff, you're welcome both.
We travel down less speedily than you, having less cause for haste. Is the king stirring?
Not yet.
He did command me to call timely on him.
I will bring you to him. This way.
I know this is a joyful trouble to you, but yet 'tis one.
The labor we delight in knows no pain. This is the door.
I'll make so bold to call him.
As you will.
Well, Macbeth, how goes the world? All hail Macbeth.
No more of that. I have forgot the weird sisters.
Goes the king hence today?
He does. He did appoint so.
The night has been unruly. Where we lay, the chimneys were blown down, and as they say, lamentings heard in the air. The obscure bird clamored the livelong night. Some say the earth was feverous and did shake.
It was a rough night.
My young remembrance cannot parallel a fellow to it.
Oh, horror! Horror! Horror!
What's that?
Some your heart cannot conceive. No name.
What is it?
What's the matter?
Confusion now hath made his masterpiece. Most sacrilegious murder hath provoked the Lord's anointed temple and stole thence the life of the building.
What is it you say, the life?
Mean you, his majesty?
Approach the chamber. Do not bid me speak. See and then speak yourself. Our royal master's murder.
No!
Murder!
Murder!
Awake!
Murder!
Murder and treason awake! Quick, worthy prince, I'll help thee to thy saddle. Be thou not dainty of leave-taking, but shift away to England. Quick, to horse.
Could it not be said, good Banquo, that my so hasty going puts on me suspicion of the deed?
Let it be said, so we may soon discover what plans may be afoot, and who hath done this bloody deed. The murderous shaft that shot is not yet lighted, and thy safest way is to avoid the aim. Therefore, away.
if thou thinkest best.
I do, for where thou art, there's daggers in men's smiles.
To England, then. My separated fortune shall keep me there the safer. Fare thee well.
Farewell, good Malcolm. And hail, Macbeth, thou that shalt be king. But if thou art, oh, I do greatly fear thou hast played most foully for it.
The curtain has fallen on the first act of Macbeth, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Now, during our intermission, here is George Hicks speaking for the United States Steel Corporation.
Good evening. If I may, I would like to bring you for a moment from the days of Macbeth back to the present day. I'd like to tell you about an industry within an industry, about products vitally important to our modern civilization that are made possible by steel, and yet have no steel in them at all. Products like sulfa drugs, nylon stockings and automobile tires, fertilizers and perfumes, aspirin, Novocaine, DDT, TNT, and phonograph records, to mention just a few of the thousands that might be listed. Yes, all of these products depend upon coal chemicals for modern mass production, and today a large part of the nation's supply of coal chemicals is produced by the steel industry. That's because coke is the chief fuel used to smelt iron ore in the steel industry's blast furnaces, and large quantities of coke must be produced constantly. Coke is made by processing certain types of soft coal, and when this takes place, the precious coal chemicals are released in the form of gases and tars. Years ago, these products of the coke ovens were wasted, but today they are painstakingly conserved by U.S. Steel and many other members of the steel industry. I hardly need to tell you that these coal chemicals, like steel itself, are tremendously important in war as well as in peace. In the period from January 1940 to August 1945, United States Steel alone produced in its coke ovens over 100 million tons of coke and huge quantities of benzene, toluene, and tar, the three basic coal chemicals from which other industries manufacture nearly 200,000 products. Thanks to constant research and development, we find substances that formerly went up in smoke now enriching our civilization in countless ways through the magic of modern coal chemicals. And the steadily expanding operation of this great new industry within an industry is still another very important way in which the industrial family of United States Steel is able to serve you and the entire nation.
We pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA, Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theatre Guild on the Air, presented by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of Macbeth, starring Judith Anderson as Lady Macbeth and Maurice Evans as Macbeth, and featuring Romney Brent as Malcolm, Thomas Chalmers as Macduff, and Everett Sloan as Banquo. A few weeks later in the Scottish hills, Macbeth, charging Malcolm with guilt in the murder, has proclaimed himself King of Scotland and been crowned. But in the royal fortress of Dunsinane, he lives and plots uneasily. To test the loyalty of his nobles, he has summoned them now, including Banquo and Macduff, to a feast. But as he awaits their arrival, Macbeth lays plans to kill Banquo, whose too great knowledge he has begun to fear.
It must be done tonight. Are you ready, both?
We are, my liege.
We're ready.
And will you do it?
We are men, my liege.
Aye, in the catalogue ye go for men.
We are two whom the vile blows and buffets of the world have so incensed that we are reckless what we do to spite the world.
Your spirit shines through you. Then listen. Banquo is summoned here to Dunsinane for a feast tonight. From this high parapet you can see in yonder valley the wood of Burnham through which he must ride hither. There, strike him down. and leave no rubs nor botches.
It shall be done, my lord.
We shall perform what you command.
Then go.
Farewell, my liege.
Farewell, O king.
Banquo, thy soul's flight, if it find heaven, must find it out tonight.
My lord?
Your wife?
My husband. Why do you keep alone? Of sorriest fancies your companion's making. Things without all remedy should be without regard. What's done is done.
We have scotched the snake, not killed it.
Gentle, my lord. Sleek o'er your rugged looks. Be bright and jovial among your guests tonight.
So shall I love, and so I pray be you. Aye, be thou jocund. Ere the bat hath flown his cloistered flight, there shall be done a deed of dreadful note.
What's to be done?
Be innocent of the knowledge, dearest Chuck, till thou applaud the deed. Come, sealing night, scarf up the tender eye of pitiful day. See the light thickens, and the crow makes wing to the rocky wood. Good things of day begin to droop and drowse, whilst night's black agents to their praise do rouse. Thou marvelest at my words, but hold thee still. Things bad begun make strong themselves by ill.
The day grows dark, but Banquo.
Aye, Macduff. We'll be there anon.
Him!
Drag him down! Free!
I have him!
The
hell with the throat! Stab him!
Macduff!
Here, let him go!
Oh.
Free him,
Malvin!
Let him go!
Help!
Take their horses!
Come right! Oh. Macduff! I have thee, Banquo. Murder! Fly, Macduff! To Prince Malcolm!
Who did this deed?
I am slain!
Whose cutthroats were they?
Macbeth's!
What?
Oh!
This bloody deed I shall make known to others. Then to England. Are they all here?
Husband, Macduff comes not.
Wherefore?
He hath sent word, not I, he says.
Dares he deny his person at our bidding?
Know you not why?
Now again I am cabin, cribbed, confined, bound into doubts and fears. Are all the others come?
All except Banquo.
Then let us in. Dear love, praise Banquo. Let your remembrance present him eminence both with eye and tongue. Come.
Most royal, sir.
All a hearty welcome. You know your own degrees. Sit down. Be large in mirth. Anon, we'll drink a measure the table round.
Aye, your majesty.
Here had we now our countries on a roof where the graced person of our Banquo present. Whom may I rather challenge for unkindness than pity for mischance?
His absence, sir, lays blame upon his promise. Please, your highness, to grace us with your royal company.
Why, the table's full.
Here is a place reserved, sir.
Where?
Hear me, good lord.
Oh, hail, Macbeth.
Oh. Which of you have done this?
What would, sir?
What is it, husband? Here is a place reserved. Prithee, be seated.
Oh, hail, that shalt do, king.
Thou canst not say I did it. Ever shake my gory locks at me.
Gentlemen, please, his highness is not well. Sit, worthy friends. My lord is often thus and hath been from his youth. Pray you keep seat. The fit is momentary. If much you note him, you shall offend him and extend his passion. Feed and regard him not. My lord, a word with you. Are you a man?
I am a bold one that dare look on that which might appall the devil.
Oh, proper stuff. This is the very painting of your fear. This is the air-drawn dagger which you said led you to Duncan. Oh, these flaws and starts. Imposters of true fear would well become a woman's story at a winter's fire authorized by her grandam. Shame itself. Why do you make such faces? When all's done, you look but on a stool.
If I stand here, I saw him. Banquo's spirit.
Aye, for shame.
blood hath been shed ere now in the olden time, aye, and since too. Murders have been performed too terrible for the ear. The time has been that when the brains were out, the man would die and there an end. But now they rise again with 20 mortal murders on their crowns to push us from our stools and raise rebellion. This is more strange than such a murder is.
My worthy lord, your noble friends do lack you.
I do forget. Do not muse at me, my most worthy friends. I have a strange infirmity which is nothing to those that know me. Come, love and health to all. Give me some wine. Fill full. I drink to the general joy of the whole table and to our dear friend Banquo. Would he were here. To all and him we'll drink. Good friends, a toast.
All hail Macbeth.
Avaunt and quit my sight, let the earth hide thee. Thy blood is cold, begone, head horrible fellow.
My lord, you have displaced the mirth, broke the good meeting with most admired disorder.
Can you behold such sights and keep the natural ruby of your cheeks when mine is blanched with fear?
What sights, my lord?
I pray you, friends, speak not. He grows worse and worse. Question enrages him. At once, good night. Stand not upon the order of your going to the court once.
Good night. Let her help attend your majesty. Good night.
Husband, I pray...
It will have blood. They say blood will have blood. I am in blood stepped in so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as Goor.
You lack the season of all natures. Sleep.
Come, we'll to sleep. But on the morrow, and betimes I will to the weird sisters, more shall they speak. For now I am bent to know by the worst means, the worst. For mine own good, all causes shall give way.
About the cauldron go, in the poisoned entrails throw.
Lizard leg, toe of a frog.
Baboon's blood.
And tongue of dog.
An owl's wing.
I've snake.
In the cauldron boil and bake.
Double, double, toil and trouble.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble.
By the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes.
How now, you secret black and midnight hags? What is to do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you by that which you profess, howe'er you came to know it. Answer me to what I ask.
Speak.
Demand.
We'll answer. Say, if thou'st rather hear it from our mouths or from our mistress.
Call her. Let me see her. What is this that rises like a shadow?
Speak not. She knows thy thoughts.
Macbeth, beware Macduff, beware the fane of fight, enough.
Whate'er thou wert, for thy good caution thanks, thou hast harped my fear aright. And so, Macduff, I... What again?
Be bloody, bold, and resolute. Laugh to scorn the power of man, for none of woman born shall harm Macbeth.
And live, Macduff! What need I fear of thee? But yet I'll make assurance double sure. Thou shalt not live, Macduff, that I may tell pale-hearted fear it lies and sleep in spite of thunder. Again!
He lion-neckled proud and take no care who chafes, who frets, or where conspirers are. Macbeth shall never vanquish thee until great Burnham Wood to high Dunsinane Hill shall come against him.
That shall never be. Who can enlist the forest, bid the tree unfix his earthbound root? Sweet portents good. Rebellion's head rise never till the wood of Burnham rise. And our high place, Macbeth, shall live the lease of nature.
Double, double, toil and trouble.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Gone as before. Melted into the wind. Infected be the air whereon they ride.
Lord!
Who's there?
Your Majesty.
Who is?
Your Majesty, I bring you word from Dunsinane.
What is thy message?
The Queen sends word, my lord.
What word? Speak, man.
There's news, sir, that Macduff and other nobles, too, have fled to England.
To England?
Aye, to Prince Malcolm.
Time thou anticipates my dread exploits. Fear, Macduff. The castle of Macduff I will surprise. Give to the edge of the sword all souls who trace him from his line. No boasting like a fool. This deed I'll do before the purpose cools.
Worthy Macduff, welcome to England.
My lord.
How does my Scotland?
It bleeds, good prince. It sinks beneath the yoke. Each day a gash is added to her wound.
Alas, poor country.
Good sir, your iron Scotland would create soldiers. Make our women fight to doff their dire distresses.
If I take up war against this tyrant, will not my bleeding land suffer yet more from our success?
My lord, as I rode to join you, word overtook me that this bloody king, whose sole name blisters my tongue, hath late surprised my castle. And my wife and babe, savagely slaughtered.
Merciful heaven. What can I say to cure such deadly grief?
Say nothing. Only come and let us make medicine of revenge. Front to front, bring thou this fiend of Scotland and myself. Within my sword length, set him. If he escape, let heaven forgive him.
I will come. What I am is thine and my poor country's to command. Our power is ready. Receive what cheer you may. The night is long that never finds the day.
The curtain has fallen on the second act of Macbeth, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. During the intermission, here again is George Hicks speaking for United States Steel.
When we hear a story of kings and queens like that of Macbeth, we usually think of great and impressive castles filled with pomp and luxury. We don't realize that those castles were primarily designed as forts rather than homes. They were gloomy, cold, drafty, and thoroughly uncomfortable. In fact, the home you're sitting in tonight would be unbelievably luxurious even to a king of Macbeth's time. Naturally, changing social conditions have had a lot to do with this. We no longer have to build our homes for protection against murderous attack by the private armies of our next-door neighbors. But just as important have been the tremendous technical developments of steel and steel products, which serve you in a thousand ways, from the steel reinforcements in the foundation of your home to the steel springs in your easy chair and the steel parts in your radio. And today, steel is making possible still another step in the building of better homes. The American Bridge Company, one of the members of the United States Steel family, is working on a great new housing development, Peter Cooper Village, here in New York. American Bridge Company is erecting for the builders the steel frameworks for 21 buildings, each 15 stories high. When completed, they will be among the world's most comfortable and modern apartment houses. Peter Cooper Village will provide bright new homes for about 10,000 people. This would not be possible without steel. Without immensely strong structural or reinforcing steel, no practical building could rise economically above 5 or 6 stories. And, of course, steel plays an essential part in our modern elevators, too. Because of steel, Peter Cooper Village, the Empire State Building, and the home you hope to have can be facts, not just dreams. Because of steel, America is a land of homes and buildings which make the castles of ancient kings seem insignificant. Helping to create that steel and erect those buildings is part of the task of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
You are listening to the Theatre Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation.
And now the curtain rises on the third act of Macbeth, starring Judith Anderson and Maurice Evans, and featuring Romney Brent, Thomas Chalmers, and Everett Sloan. In Dunsinane Castle, high in the hills, Macbeth prepares to make a stand. Meanwhile, the doctor at the castle has learned of some strange symptoms shown by Lady Macbeth, as reported to him by her lady-in-waiting. It is night at Dunsinane.
When was it she last walked?
I cannot say, doctor.
A great perturbation in nature to receive at once the benefit of sleep and do the effects of watching. Lo, here she comes.
This is her very guise. Fast asleep.
How came she by that light?
Why, it stood by her. She has light by her continually. It is her command.
Her eyes are open.
Aye, but their sense is shut.
What is it she does now? Look how she rubs her hands.
It is an accustomed action with her to seem thus washing her hands. I've known her continuousness a quarter of an hour.
Yet here's a spot.
Hark, she speaks. I will set down what comes from her.
Out, damn spot. Out, I say. Who would have thought the old man to have had so much blood in him?
Do you mark that?
The Thane of Fife had a wife. Where is she now? What will these hands ne'er be clean? No more of that, my lord, no more of that. You mar all with this starting.
Go to, go to. You have known what you should not.
She has spoke what she should not. I'm sure of that.
Here's the smell of the blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand.
Oh. What a sigh is there. Her heart is sorely charged.
Wash your hands. Put on your nightgown. Look not so pale. I tell you yet again, Banquo's buried. He cannot come out on's grave.
Even so.
To bed. To bed. There's knocking at the gate. Come. Come, come. Come, give me your hand. What's done cannot be undone. To bed. To bed. To bed.
Will she go now to bed?
Directly.
God. God forgive us all. This is beyond my practice.
My friends, I hope the days are near at hand when Holmes will be safe again.
We doubt it nothing.
What say the reports, Macduff? How did the tyrant?
Great Dunsinane, he strongly fortifies. Some say he's mad. Others that lesser hate him do call it valiant fury. Now does he feel his secret murders sticking on his hands. So we have had report of many new rebels, of many in Scotland who would join their forces with us.
Send them word to meet us at Birnam Wood. Make we our march towards Birnam.
My lord.
Bring me no more reports. Let them fly all. Till Birnam Wood removed to Dunsinane, I cannot taint with fear.
But, sir, there is 10,000.
Geese, villain.
Soldiers, sir. Prince Malcolm's force, so please you.
The devil damn thee, black, thou cream-faced loon. Take thy face hence.
Yes, my lord.
What's the boy, Malcolm? Was he not born of woman? Fear not, Macbeth. No man of woman born shall e'er have power upon thee. I will not be afraid of death and bane till Birnam Forest come to Dunsinane.
What wood is this we enter?
The wood of Birnam.
Let every soldier cut him down a bough and bear it before him. Thereby shall we shadow the number of our force.
It shall be done. Well, Doctor,
How does your patient?
Not so sick, my lord, as she is troubled with thick coming fancies that keep her from her rest.
Cure her of that. Come, men, put on my armor.
She's not yet needed,
sir. Put it on.
At once, Milinch.
Canst thou not minister to a mind diseased, doctor? Pluck from the memory a rooted sorrow, raise out the written troubles of the brain, and with some sweet oblivious antidote, cleanse the stuffed bosom of that perilous stuff which weighs upon the heart.
Therein the patient must minister to himself.
Throw medicine to the dogs, I'll none of it. Hurry, man.
Aye, sir. Your arm, sir.
Doctor, if thou canst purge my land and bring it to a sound and pristine health, I would applaud thee to the very echo. Pull off, I say.
Yeah.
What rhubarb, senna, or what purgative drug could scour these rebels hence? Yes, two of them?
My lord, I...
What was that?
It was the cry of a woman, my good lord.
I have almost forgot the taste of fears. The time has been my senses would have cooled to hear a night shriek. I have supped full with horrors.
My lord!
Wherefore was that cry?
The queen, my lord, is dead by her own hand.
She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot. Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
My lord!
Thou comes to use thy tongue, thy story quickly.
Precious, my lord, I should report that which I say I saw, but know not how to do it.
Well, say, sir.
As I did stand my watch upon the wall, I looked toward Burnham, and anon me thought the wood began to move.
Liar and slave!
Let me endure your wrath, if be not so. Within this 3 mile may you see it coming. I say a moving grove.
If thou speak'st false, upon the next tree shall thou hang alive till famine cling thee. Fear not till Burnham Wood do come to Dunsinane. And now a wood comes towards Dunsinane. Arm and out! If this which he avouches disappear, there is not flying hence, nor tarrying here. I begin to be aweary of the sun, and wish the estate of the world were now undone. Ring the alarm bell! Blow wind! Come wreck! At least we'll die with harness on our back! Beard to beard, we'll beat them backward home.
Fire and show thy face.
That's tough. Of all men else, I have avoided thee. But get thee back. I bear a charmed life which will not yield to one of woman born.
Spare thy charm, Macbeth, and let the angel whom thou still hast heard tell thee that I, Macduff, was from my mother's womb, untimely ripped.
Curse be my tongue that tells me. Shall I not yield? Lay on, Macduff. And damned be he who first cries, hold! Enough! Fire!
Hail Malcolm, King of Scotland!
Hail, King of Scotland!
So thou art, good Malcolm. Behold where lies the usurper's cursed head. The time is free.
We shall not spend a large expense of time before we reckon with your several loves that make us even with you. My thanes and kinsmen, henceforth be earls, the first that ever Scotland in such an honor named. Now let the trumpets speak. Give them all breath in clamorous farewell to blood and death.
Thank you.
The curtain has fallen on the Theatre Guild on the Air production of Shakespeare's Macbeth, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starring Judith Anderson as Lady Macbeth and Maurice Evans as Macbeth, and featuring Romney Brent, Thomas Chalmers, and Everett Sloan. Other members of our cast included Wesley Addy, Alfred Shirley, Donald MacDonald, Chester Stratton, James Monks, Ted DeCorsia, and Gina Mallow. And here is Roger Pryor with a word about next week's play.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Theatre Guild on the Air brings you the psychological melodrama Uncle Harry by Thomas Jobe. Our stars are Paul Henreid and Geraldine Fitzgerald, deservedly popular on both the stage and in motion pictures. Featured with Paul Henreid and Geraldine Fitzgerald will be Mildred Dunnock. So be with us next week for the Theatre Guild on the Air production of Uncle Harry.
Remember, next week, Paul Henreid and Geraldine Fitzgerald in Uncle Henry. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. The Theatre Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Teresa Helvin and Lawrence Langner, with Homer Fickett, director, Carol Irvin, production executive, and our minor Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music was composed and conducted by Harold Levy, and the play was adapted by Eric Barno. Judith Anderson is currently appearing in the United Artists production of The Red House. Because of other commitments, Basil Rathbone, who was to be with our cast tonight, could not appear. Your announcer is Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Thank you for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week, we will continue our Halloween theme with Trick or Treat from classic radio shows. I'm Justine Ward, your host. So long for now.